It's green.
Awesome. You got it.
If you don't stop your crying, I'm going to come over there and give you something to cry about. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever with kids ever say that? Last year or so, we've been talking about in Wauseon having the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ. But having the mind of Christ, what's it going to take to make us stop whining and griping and complaining? How are you doing? Oh, I'm tired. Putting one foot in front of the other, you know. It's terrible, you know. Or having a temper tantrum with another child of God. See? And God, see? You don't stop your crying. I'm going to come over there and give you something to cry about. See? After all that God has done for us, do you really think that He has brought us this far just to drop us on our head? Sometimes our moaning and groaning and complaining is like accusing God of unfaithfulness or poor planning. See, what is it that makes me so unsatisfied? What would it take to be satisfied? More money? More stuff? Hollywood bodies? Don't laugh. Godzilla was in Hollywood. More free time so I could watch some trash about Halloween on Netflix. Yeah. More sleep? A better house? Remote control kids? Yeah. Everybody says they want better behaved kids, but they're not willing to take the steps to get them better behaved, so I call them remote control. See? If you want to be better behaved kids, then you got to start, you know, back here. Newer car? What's it going to take? Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. 2 Peter 1, 1. Simon Peter, bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, mind of Christ, and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I mean, come on, man. What do you want? You know? I mean, how can I read this and say, well, you know, it's just too hard. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Great God in heaven, Father, I am so grateful and thankful for your word. And Father, I'm thankful for the clarity of your word. But Lord God, I know, and you have told us clearly, that there is a deceiver, the author of confusion, that serpent, that old dragon, the devil, Father, who is out to tell us that these things just absolutely can't be because they're not part of our experience. Lord God, help us to see past that veil. Help us to experience what David was talking about in the first hour, that true circumcision of the heart. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Jesus had a real body. He had a real brain. And we have the mind of Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. I've got folks in Wasion, their Bibles fall open to this, and then right after it falls open to Acts 2:38. This is the second one it falls open to. Verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. For who has known the mind of God that he may instruct him? You don't know, tell him anything you don't know. But we have the mind of Christ. So, what are you thinking about when you ain't thinking about anything? What are you thinking about when you shove that brain into neutral? What is your set point? It It is a renewing of the mind. Now, Numbers chapter 13. Now, you know that these things are written for our learning. And these things are written for those of us at the end of the ages. Now, the Bible is accurate historically. It is accurate in prophecy, and what it says is going to come true, it comes true. It is accurate in recording historical things. These are not simply allegories, but we can look back on these real physical things. See, first in the physical, then in the spiritual. So when you look back at Numbers 13, people are people. And people tend to change very little, see, underneath some of the outward trappings and technology. People tend to change very little when it comes right down to it. Numbers chapter 13, you know the account. God has taken them pretty much directly from Sinai, given them the Ten Commandments, giving them the law for the sacrifices. And now they're going to send 12 spies into the Promised Land. And you know the account. See? They go into the Promised Land and say, surely this is a land that flows with milk and honey. But you know, there's some giants there. The whole Penn State football team. Obviously, you can't do anything with those guys. So, 10 said no, and 2 said go. And using the democratic principles, the 10 who say no, that's who we're going to listen to. These two outliners, verse 33 of Numbers 13 kind of sums it up. And there, we saw giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we're going to project that. Yeah, I'm sure we were grasshoppers in their sight too. You know, there's a principle there. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. The me I see is the me I'll be. And saw ourselves as grasshoppers. So obviously, we're grasshoppers. And you know, a lie repeated often enough becomes the truth. There's also another principle there that I think we have to really be aware of. Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. They saw it. They thought of themselves that way. And then they begin to make that proclamation. See, we looked like grasshoppers in our own eyes, so obviously that's what we are. And so we need to stay away from this. Because if we get involved in this, we are surely... Now, what did God tell them to do? He told them to go... He was going to take them into a land filled with milk and honey. And sent spies into the land filled with milk and honey. Well, we can't do it now. The time's not right. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll start reading verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life. What you eat, what you drink, nor about your body. What you put on, is not this life more than food and the body more than clothing? Birds of the air, you sow and reap and gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. You toil and spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith? Therefore, don't worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, God's not saying to throw caution to the wind. But see, what he is saying is that we shouldn't lay awake at night and worry. God knows what's going on. And he also knows that we face circumstances. See, it's pretty easy to say, don't worry about food, don't worry about clothes, don't worry about shelter, as long as we got a roof over our head and full bellies and can go to Walmart and get a pair of pants. That's really not the case. See? And the point is that we may not be worried about the basics, but how do you not worry when you're faced with cancer? How do you not worry? See? When you're faced with arthritis. How do you not worry when you're faced with all the circumstances? See, the instability of employment. Well, You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You can always find somebody to tell you that you shouldn't be doing whatever you're doing for the kingdom. You don't have to look very far. See? But putting the kingdom first is a lot more than showing up for every service. I lost the power steering turning into Walmart. I thought, well, fluid's low, dump some fluid in it. So I go in and get some power steering fluid and put in there. It didn't help. I get home and in my mechanical wisdom, Marie, I thought, well, I didn't put enough in. So I put some more in. Still didn't work. Well, you know, I looked under the car and there's this puddle of, I bet there's something leaking here, you know. Now, you see, what am I going to do about this car? Last thing I need is to have to dump money in this car. We're all going to have situations, circumstances, see, that are going to be challenging. Now, when God takes the children of Israel into the promised land, he didn't kill, 40 years later, he didn't kill all the giants, did he? They still had to kill the giants. They still had to, they still had to fight the battles. Oh, why would God do that? See, why would God say, oh, I'll give you the promised land, and then, they'll fight the battle? Well, I think God kills everybody, and they can't take over and maintain. See, sometimes we pray for church growth. We have a hard time maintaining the spiritual health. So we need to seek first the kingdom. In other words, having the mind of Christ means that we need to believe God. Back to Numbers chapter 14. Ten said no. Two said go. Numbers chapter 14, verse 26. God says, here's what we're going to do. Now, I've tried to do right by you guys. See, if you don't stop crying, I'm going to come over there and give you something to cry about. Numbers chapter 14, verse 26. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long am I going to bear this evil congregation who complain against me? Now, I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Your carcasses of you who have complained against me, you're going to fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb and Joshua. But you know, how long did it take for Caleb and Joshua to see the promised land? 40 years. They weren't exempt from going through, no. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I'll bring them in. Oh, we need to take care of the children. And they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses are going to fall in this wilderness. So, God says, see you in 40. You don't want this? Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Now, Duda means two. Second giving of the law, because this generation was not the generation that was at Sinai at the giving of the law. That generation has died in the desert. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 14. And the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the valley of Zered was 38 years. Until all the generation of men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them. For indeed, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So, 38 years later, everybody's dead. We're going to take 2 years here to review the law. The second giving of the law. The law, the Ten Commandments, the law how to live, the law how to give sacrifices. See? So, we're going to go through this, and then, you know, you're going to have to fight that battle. But now, this generation is going to believe because of what happened to the last generation. Now, let's bring that into today, into the restoration movement. We can see that there was an Ichabod restoration that did not recognize the glory of the Lord. Remember, Ichabod meant the glory of the Lord had departed. So, in an attempt to restore New Testament Christianity to America, in that movement, the glory of the Lord has departed. And now, the new generation is being brought up. And we'll fight the battles in the promised land. Open your spiritual eyes with me. And let's think about Jesus' prayer in John 17. The history lesson is over. This has to do directly with you and I. John 17. Jesus' prayer in the garden, recorded for us by John, inspired by the Holy Spirit. At the tail end of this prayer, Jesus prays in verse 22 of John 17, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, my desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Verse 23, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. The most humble thing that we can do is believe what Jesus says. Real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 14 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him.
We can't take that land. There's giants there.
Nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 17, for he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Clear statement of fact. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now, these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. You're supposed to be learning something from this, from their circumstances. See? What are we supposed to learn? How are we supposed to engage what we've been given is the mind of Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, but though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Well, how do we know him? Well, we know Christ in glory. Therefore, in verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God has in Christ been reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. You starting to see a theme here? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. But that's not what my circumstances feel like. I know, but did you know that every false doctrine, when you look at it close enough, provides an allowance for sin? I don't care what it is. The one consistent thing with false doctrine is that eventually, close enough, it provides an allowance for sin. Mark chapter 1. Verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came forth from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I don't know how people who have been so dedicated to a pattern could completely miss this pattern. Because if you listen really close, every time someone is immersed into Christ, we can hear that voice from heaven. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Everyone who has been obedient in baptism has had that declaration. We don't have to resort to the law when we realize who we are and whose we are. Maybe you weren't listening close enough to your baptism. But let me assure you, if you are baptized for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you are seeking first the kingdom, It wasn't just said then, but it continues to be God's declaration that you are his beloved son, in whom he is well pleased. Listen. Are there giants? Yeah. Are there battles? Yeah. But if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, the devil can. But the fights that we fight are not to defeat his power. It's to build our character. Just like the children of Israel went into the promised land, and every time they listened to God, what'd they do? They ended up victorious. When they didn't listen to God, when they thought, well, no, circumstances can dictate, Ai kicked their butt. It's been put before us. This is the way of faith. And the devil has set this tremendous charade of circumstances, whether it's power steering fluid or whether it's deterioration of the body. What are you going to do, scare me with heaven? Virginia, are you scared of heaven? No. We don't want to necessarily take the expressway there. Because you know what? We got battles to fight here. We got character to build here. But knowing who I am, see, empowers me. Having the mind of Christ empowers me to overcome those circumstances. So let's overcome. Get my drink here.